Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. Title of our sermon today is I'm a Victor, Not a Victim. We turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses there, verses 6 through 15. I'm a Victor, not a Victim. It says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world. In other words, don't be deceived by any kind of teaching out there other than the Word of God. And not according to any of these teachings that are not according to Christ. For in Him the fullness of deity dwells bodily. He is God. And you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Anybody getting a picture here of who you are in Christ? In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off of the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with who? With Him, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. The same thing and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that will raise you from the dead, and the same power that lives and resides in you and gives you the authority to walk out your life in Christ. Amen? And you who were kind of dead in your trespasses. I want everyone to hear this, because I'm going to be teaching on this in a couple weeks about radical depravity and sovereign election. And you were dead. Before you came to Christ, you were dead. He made you alive. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. We have been forgiven of everything that we have done. That debt is no longer held against us. Somebody say amen to that. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. And our verse for today, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. So He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Amen? Amen. Father, bless Your Word today. And may we know that it's Your Word, it has authority, and may it be used to change us and shape us in Jesus' name. There was a cosmic struggle that took place at the cross. And at the cross, and I could just share this one paragraph I have written down here and we could end our sermon today, but at the cross, the devil was defeated. But not only was he defeated, he was thrown down to earth, he was bound, the prince of the age was cast out. Jesus died for sinners. Satan was robbed of his power to intimidate people with eternal separation from God and death. And all the powers that he has can no longer have their advantage in our lives. He has no advantage in our lives with his power. It's only what we allow him to have. I'm a victor, not a victim. And although he's been defeated, we're still going to struggle with him until Jesus comes back. Amen? Does everyone understand that? We deal with the flesh, we deal with the world, and we deal with the devil. And we got too many believers living below who they are in Christ, living well below their authority, living constantly discouraged. Listen, I think the Lord wants to really exhort somebody in here today. We were talking to the man, and the Holy Spirit said, let them talk and talk about their lives. And I'm so glad that they're all here today, because you know what, guys? Today you're going to understand you are a victor. Amen. And for anybody in this room today, you're discouraged, you're going through something, understand there is a battle out there, and it's over your mind. And one of the things the devil will never stop doing is trying to defeat you, and he'll do that by stealing your joy, stealing your strength through your joy, and always keep you defeated and discouraged. Listen, a depressed Christian is an oxymoron. As a believer, you should never be depressed. As a believer, you should never be depressed. No matter what your background is, no matter how bad your problem is, look at what you were just told in the Word of God. You've been given the authority of Christ in your life, in my life. I never should have to live that way. I understand we have personalities. You all ladies learn about melancholy and different things. We all go to, but not in this sense of depression where I don't want to stay in bed and I don't want to get up. I don't want to move and I'm down and I'm out. Amen? You need to be like Rocky and look that thing in the, and look the devil in the eye and say, you ain't nothing. Amen? You ain't nothing. We talked about that this morning. That's what we talk about before church starts. We talk about Rocky movies. Amen. Amen. So there are devilish forces out there, and they are aggressive, and they're working against you. But they've already been defeated. Somebody say they've already been defeated. They've already been defeated. Yet they still roam. They're like thugs, spiritual thugs, hooligans. And for some reason, although they've been defeated, as we can even see in the book of Job, God allows them to still do some things. He gives them some certain amount of freedom. But it's not God's choice for you to be attacked. It's still the devil's choice. But he gives them the freedom to do it. Do we like it? No, we'd rather not have to deal with that, but that's just the way it is, because his original design was never meant for the Satan to be able to attack us with things, because that all happened through the fall of Adam. And when Adam sinned, and now mankind's in rebellion, and now all this comes in, and now we got this going on. Thank you, Adam. Amen. So really, it's kind of our fault. It's kind of humanity's fault that all this is going on. It's part of our fallen nature. So we can't blame God for satanic attacks. And Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those that love God. So even though you're having something coming against you, God's still going to work it out to form you to be more like Christ. Amen? So whether you see your situation you're in, like some of the guys yesterday, whether you see it as a satanic attack or not, just know that God's going to use all of it to make you a better man of God. Rise up your faith. And I said this to Ken yesterday, because I hear Pat say it a lot, is that when you go through something like Ken went through or something like Pat went through, it's going to change your perspective on a lot of things. Because, you know, you go through something like that, you rise into a place of faith. And if God can do that, my goodness, God can do anything. Amen? Well, let's go back to your salvation. If God saved you, you wretched sinner, he can do anything in your life. Let me read this quote. And just like criminals who refuse to submit to the law, these evil spirits will continue to operate in this world until some believer uses his or her God-given authority in Christ to enforce their defeat. Some of y'all leave your badge on the bedside table too often. You need to be making sure you're carrying your badge of authority with you all the time. We're not puny, struggling believers who are somehow trying to learn how to cope with the devil's attacks. I am not a puny, struggling believer. It has nothing to do with size or physical stature. It has to do with knowing who you are in Christ. So Christ's death and resurrection gave us the authority to keep Satan underneath our feet, to enable us to be victors and not victims. We'd have a lot less counseling need, a lot less situations like that in the lives of people if they only realized who they are in Christ, and in Christ we are victors and not victims. Amen. I never have to live defeated. We read to the guys yesterday, Paul, James again, count it all joy, count it all joy, count it all joy. How am I supposed to count it all joy? Because the Holy Spirit, when He came inside of you, brought a fruit called joy that is supposed to rise up in you even in a trial. We're supposed to live in joy. Amen. We're supposed to have strength. Man, He knows how to grip, He knows how to come into every life in this room and suck the life right out of you. And we just let Him do it. With all the armament we have available to us, we just let Him do it. And we live these lax, these non-exciting, knowing who we are in Christ lives. And man, God wants us to live so far above even where we are right now. We're a victor, not a victim. Look at this verse. This really helped me. Look at the verse, 2 Colossians 2:15. Let's look at it. When Paul tells us that Jesus made a public display, that phrase has one Greek word to it, parousia. One Greek word that means and denotes boldness or confidence. In other words, by using the word, Paul's declaring that Jesus boldly, confidently, and loudly exposed and displayed his now defeated foe to the heavenly hosts. He boldly showed the heavenlies who he just beat. Think about it. We live as if we can't find victory when the one that we live for has already got the victory and won it a long time ago. And the devil uses the same thing generation after generation. It's the same stuff. He made a spectacular display of his defeated foe to the heavenlies, having triumphed over them. The word triumph is taken from a technical Greek word that describes a general or an emperor coming home from battle, and what he's bringing with him is not only the spoils of everything he took from his enemy, but it paints a picture for us of the enemy now being dragged behind him, shackled, defeated, and being made a display of as someone who's been beaten. That's what that word is entailing. He triumphed over him. The same one that we're letting beat us up week after week. So his victory over Satan was a momentous affair. Revelations 12:10 says, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down." No matter what strategy may come against you this day or how many demons are assembled together for your destruction, you never go down defeated. Amen. You are never out of the fight. Watch that movie on TV, Lone Survivor, and he looked over at him and he said, "Listen, you are never out of the fight. You are never out of the fight. You are never out of the fight." We need to see ourselves as somebody who has already won the victory, already possesses authority, and the means necessary to keep Satan at bay and to keep him under our feet. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he talks about overcoming temptation and the evil one. It's an article, definite article, the evil one. I pray every day, thank you, Father, that you've given me the power to override all of my temptations today and the power over the evil one. You better not leave here without an understanding that you know that you have the power over the evil one. over your flesh, that's a piece of cake. You should be dealing with that all the time. But man, there's an enemy out there who uses your flesh and the world and all these things to try to drag you down. Somebody needs to look at him every morning and look him in the eye and say, you ain't nothing. Luke 10:19, Jesus said this to us. Behold, I have given you authority to tread or trample on serpents and scorpions, or that's demonic forces, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. In Christ, you're a victor, not a victim. Amen. Write down Luke 10:19. Here's a problem, though, because very few believers know how to effectively use their God-given authority to resist the devil. He continues operating and continuing his ongoings in our lives. He just knows how to work us. You have to realize that in yourself, you are not capable of dealing with this. And I'm going to get this before I probably need to, but every day we wake up, our righteousness, our breastplate of righteousness is already on us. It doesn't say in Ephesians 6 that we have to put it on. It's already on us because we've been established in righteousness as believers. Our belt of truth is already on us because we've been established as believers. The gospel or the gospel shoes are already on us. The only thing it says about putting on is the helmet, picking up the shield, and the sword of the Spirit. Put on the helmet to guard our mind. Hold up the shield of faith to fight off what? Fight off all the fiery darts. What are fiery darts? It's all the things he brings to you. And you realize the shield they're talking about is not one like this. The shield they're giving an example of is a shield to cover from top of the head to the ground. So when you get in this battle you're in, just get behind. Here's what we do. We leave all of it by our bedside. We leave our sword there. We leave our shield there. We don't put our helmet on. And we walk out into our workplace, into our job market. And man, we get attacked in our minds. No protection. We have no shield up. And it all just whams against us. And we're not walking with the sword of the Spirit because we've never memorized Scripture and we don't even read it. And now we're walking into the world and we're open game. Hey, have your way with me. It's just like someone walking around texting on their cell phone, not being aware. It's the same thing as a believer who's not armed, walking out in the world without their weaponry on. You're walking around situationally unaware. And he will track you. Jesus defeated him. The devil's still allowed to be here on earth and play his games. He comes at us over and over again with the same thing over. Have you ever dealt with the same thing over and over again? He comes at you with the same thing over and over. He will bring you to your temptations the same things over and over and over and over and over until you deal with it. And until you put your foot down, you will never overcome what he tempts you with. It's not going to go away. You must do your part. We're told to resist the devil. James 4:7. Just write down James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God. First of all, I got to ask you, have you submitted yourself to God? We're supposed to submit ourselves to God. It means, you know what submit yourself means? It means to arrange yourself under and give control to. So as long as you think you got your intellect and you got your physical and mental and capabilities to handle life on your own, you're not submitting and giving God control over your life. You're not submitting to God. So first of all, it says submit to God. And then it says resist. And this is a command. This is an imperative word. A command to set oneself against, to withstand, resist, and oppose. So you're supposed to resist, withstand, resist, oppose the devil, and he will flee from you. Because the moment you truly oppose him, he then can't get, there's nothing he can do to you in that area of your life. He's going to try to come back with something else, and you got to oppose him again. You got to resist him again. You got to stand against it again. You can't just give in and give up because you're never going to get over this. You're never going to get past it. You're only going to live this defeated, kind of discouraged life. Stand firm. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him. Standing firm, it means strong, firm, immovable, solid, rigid. Stand firm in the faith, it says. Stand firm in the faith, strong in your faith, firm in your faith, immovable in your faith, solid and rigid in your faith. Resist him, standing firm. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. We resist. Someone tried to get in your home and steal your kids, would you resist that perpetrator? Resisting, standing firm. So as we're resisting and standing firm, God has provided for our victory through the power of Christ's blood. Revelations 12:11. The continuing prayer of Christ in heaven for believers. Hebrews 7:25. The power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. And then we talked about our various weapons of spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. But then we have the Bible. God's words. And somebody says, how do I deal with my problems? Oh, beloved, if you don't know the chapter verse, then Google it. Google your problem.
Right.
Google discouragement scriptures. Google, and then take them. Take a 3x5 note card, a post-it note, and write it down and memorize it. Memorize it. Or carry a pocket New Testament or wherever that verse is and underline it and highlight it and use it. Against the enemy when he comes against you. Jesus used the word of God. We're trying to fight these battles in our human flesh. He don't care if he's attacking you and you have a Bible by your nightstand, because it does no good if it just sits there unopened. But I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I don't need to. Yeah, you do. No excuse. No excuse for wanting to learn the Word of God. No excuse from trying to press in deep to the Word of God. No excuse. It is written. It is said. That's what Jesus did. It is said you should not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written. It is written. You want to come against me? Then I'm going to give you. You know what this word is? It's Jesus. You are not living and active who can do damage to the enemy, but the Word of God is. And when it's coming through you as a child of God, it's living and active. I'm a victor, man. I am not a struggling, puny, defeated, discouraged believer.
Amen.
You're a victor today in closing because Jesus is a victor. You're not a victor because of anything that you've done. You're a victor because of everything that he's done.
Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.